I've entitled this first sermon today, and I think you're going to really identify with this. Lies we believe, God helps those who help themselves. Now, we've all heard that, right? All right, now, consider this. Opinion polls tell us that 92% of Americans believe in God. However, it is not the God of the Bible that they believe in. The concept of God in people's minds today is as diverse as the flavors of your local snowball stand. Now, social scientists tell us, this is social scientists, they tell us that each culture creates its own gods. So think about that. I think that's a key thing to consider. The American culture, our culture in this nation, I think we would all agree it is driven by consumerism and pleasure, and it has created a God that is tolerant of our lifestyle. Think of it. I'm reminded of the closing statement of the first epistle of John. That would be the first epistle of John, chapter 5, where he says this. He says, "And we know that the Son of God has come and has given us an understanding that we may know him who is true, and we are in him who is true, in his Son, Jesus Christ. This is the true God and eternal life. Little children, keep yourselves from idols." Amen. That's 1 John chapter 5, verse 20 to 21. Interesting that the scripture says, as it ends, as it concludes, keep yourselves from idols. Because there's a lot of things that are idols. There's no doubt about that. So lies that we believe, God helps those who help themselves. Here's some stats for you to consider. 8 out of 10 Americans believe that this statement is found in the Bible, that God helps those who help themselves. 8 out of 10 Americans believe that's a verse of Scripture. Here's another thought to consider. The gods help them that help themselves. That's from Aesop, Greek philosopher. Think of it. We're going to talk about concepts that kind of carry on to succeeding generations. The gods help them that help themselves. Here is another one from Euripides, another Greek philosopher. He says, "Try first thyself, and after, call on God." See, all of these thoughts are based upon God helps those who help themselves. It's based upon that. Now, history tells us that Benjamin Franklin espoused this view, and it is linked to him. Yes, that Benjamin Franklin. See, Benjamin Franklin was a deist who rejected the gospel of Christ. Benjamin Franklin was under the ministry in his generation of a great evangelist by the name of George Whitefield. And history tells us they were actually good friends. But Whitefield never saw him converted. And Benjamin Franklin rejected the gospel of Jesus Christ because he was a deist. So you see, if you think about this concept, God helps those who help themselves. What is a deist? This term is linked to the intellectual movement of the 17th and 18th centuries. They believed in a supreme being. A deist was someone who believed in a supreme being, but rejected the belief of a supreme deity who would intervene in humankind. All right, so they believed in a supernatural power, but basically, you are on your own. So God helps those who help themselves. Lies that we believe. Interesting concepts. I want to draw you to a passage of God's Word. I know I have read this, I don't know how many times, preached upon it, taught upon it, found in the book of Ephesians chapter 2. I don't know if I gave you all the notation of the Amplified Bible, but I'll read this from the Amplified Bible. It says, "And you he made alive when you were dead, slain by your trespasses and sins, in which at one time you walked habitually. You were following the course and fashion of this world. You were under the sway of the tendency of this present age." All right, so there's the culture, right? The tendency of this present age. Believe what it believes. Say what it says. Think what it thinks. But he goes on and he says, "Following the prince of the power of the air, you were obedient to and under the control of the demon spirit." Think about that. "That constantly works in the sons of disobedience, the careless, the rebellious, and the unbelieving, who go against the purposes of God." Now, we read these verses of Scripture, and immediately we are confronted with the truth that we are spiritually dead and we can't help ourselves. We are totally, completely helpless. There was a man by the name of Jeremy Bentham. Before he died in 1832, he gave orders that his entire estate to be given to the University College Hospital in London on one condition. The condition was that his body would be preserved and he would be placed at attendance at the hospital board meeting. My friends, this is a true story. You don't do it now because I want you to listen to the message, but you can Google search it. All right, so when they have board meetings, they wheel him up to the table. The chairman says that he is present, but he's not voting. That kind of illustrates what it means to be spiritually dead. You may be present, but you're not voting because you are dead in trespasses and sins. This is an incredible passage of God's word that we read in Ephesians chapter 2. It says that he made you alive. You didn't make yourself alive. If you're not a born-again child of God, according to this verse, you are under the sway of this present age. You're following the tendency of this present age. And according to verse 2, you are obedient and under the control of a demon spirit that is at work in the sons of disobedience, the careless, the rebellious, the unbelieving, who go against the purposes of God. At one time I was there. At one time you were there. We may not have known it at the time, but we were under that control. Lies that we believe. God helps those who help themselves. If I'm not mistaken, I think that's a quote in the Forrest Gump movie. Don't quote me on that, but you can research it. I think there's a quote somewhere along that line in that movie, if I'm not mistaken. God helps those who help themselves. My friends, if that is true, then we are all in trouble. Deep trouble. Because the Bible tells us that it is only the grace of God that is able to make us alive. He goes on in verse 3 and he says, "Among these as well you once lived, conducted yourselves in the passions of our flesh. Our behavior was governed by our corrupt and sensual nature, obeying the impulses of the flesh, the thoughts of the mind, our cravings dictated by our senses and our dark imaginings. We were then by nature children of God's wrath." Now think of it. Our culture says that we're all God's children. Isn't that what the culture says? We're all God's children. Well, what is lies we believe? What does it say in this verse? It says in this third verse that we are by nature children of God's wrath. Are y'all listening to this? Man, that is totally contrary to the concept that we find in the culture. I'm good, you're all right, I'm all right. We're, you know, we all, the Lord loves us all. Tolerant. It doesn't matter how you live. It doesn't matter because we're all God's children. Well, the scripture paints a quite vivid picture of a concept that is otherwise. And he says right here that because of this sin problem, this spiritual death, that we are spiritually dead and we cannot help ourselves. We can't change ourselves. We can't reform ourselves. We cannot help ourselves in any way. It's impossible. There's nothing that we can do performance-wise to make ourselves acceptable. It's only receiving what's already been done. Interesting that he says in this verse that the thoughts of our mind, our cravings, dictated by our senses, our dark imaginings, children of wrath, heirs of his indignation. Are y'all getting this? My friends, that's why I always say to really appreciate the good news, you have to know the bad news. And he's detailing the bad news so that we can understand and appreciate the good news. The bad news is we are spiritually dead and we can't help ourselves. The good news is that God gave us the remedy when he gave his only begotten son. Here's another thought to consider. We are blinded to our condition. We're blinded to it. 2 Corinthians chapter 4 and verse 4 tells us about this blind condition. Notice what this says, 2 Corinthians 4:4. It says, for the God of this world, here's that demon spirit again, the God of this world has blinded our minds. Our minds, let me back up and include verse 3. It says, if our gospel is veiled or if it's hidden, it is veiled to those who are perishing, whose minds the God of this age has blinded, who do not believe, lest the light of the gospel of the glory of Christ, who is the image of God, should shine on them. My friends, people in the world that are lost and separated from God, they don't understand their condition. He says so right here. We are blinded to our condition because the God of this world, the demon spirit, Satan, he has blinded the minds of unbelievers. We are living in a day where people's minds are blinded. They are unbelievers because their minds are blinded, a blind condition. Proverbs chapter 4, verse 19, it says, but the way of the wicked is like deep darkness, and they do not know what makes them stumble. Deep darkness, he says, the way of the wicked is like deep darkness, and they don't understand why they stumble. They don't even understand what makes them stumble. My friends, this is a blind condition. We are unable to do anything about it until God by his Spirit intervenes. Thank God that I'm not a deist. Thank God you're not a deist. Thank God that he does intervene in the affairs of mankind. Thank God that he did give his only begotten son, that whosoever believes in him would not perish, but would have everlasting life. Hallelujah. This is a blind condition, and we are unable to do anything about it until God by his Spirit intervenes. Let me give you another statement. Consider this in Psalms 58. Psalms 58, verse 3 to verse 5. Listen to what this says. It says, the wicked are estranged from the womb. They go astray as soon as they are born, speaking lies. As soon as you are born, you're a liar. It says so right here. Think about it. Think how early on we began to lie. Did you open that cookie jar? No, not me, Mama. And crumbs falling off the corners of our mouths. From the moment we are born, he says, the wicked are estranged from the womb, estranged from God, that is. They go astray as soon as they are born, speaking lies. Their poison is like the poison of a serpent. They're like the deaf cobra that stops its ear, which will not heed the voice of charmers, charming ever so skillfully. My friends, that defines a people that cannot help themselves. It is impossible to help themselves. Even from birth, he says, the wicked go astray. And we are blinded to that condition. Blinded to it until Jesus Christ comes in, until God initiates by his Holy Spirit. He must initiate that. And that's why Jesus said, all that the Father gives me shall come to me, and all that come to me I will in no way cast out. Jesus also said, he said that no man can come to me unless the Father, by the Holy Spirit, of course, draws him. Why do people come to church? Because he draws us. He initiates it. Even Jesus said, you did not choose me. He said, I chose you. My friends, we cannot help ourselves, but yet the world believes it. Lies that we believe. Let me move on to the next thing. See, because of deception, there is false spirituality. Consider this. I'm going to give you a very important passage of God's Word, one that you should mark in your Bible. Take note of it, because, man, this is such a pertinent verse in this age in which we are living. And this is what he says in 1 Timothy chapter 4 and verse 1. He says, now the Spirit expressly says, he distinctly speaks, and he says that in the latter times, some will depart from the faith. All right, what faith is he talking about? He's talking about the faith of the gospel of Jesus Christ. He's talking about the only way to heaven, which is through Jesus Christ. John 14, 6, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man comes unto the Father but by me. Jesus made those claims. He declared that. John 14, 6. That's another lie that the world believes. Many paths lead to God. Not so. Amen? Not so. Word of God says quite to the contrary. Many paths do not lead to God. There's only one way. Jesus said, all that ever came before me were thieves and robbers trying to get in some other way. He said, but I am the door. He said, by me, if any man enters in, he's gonna have life. He's gonna have peace. Amen. He's gonna find pasture. He's gonna find fulfillment. He said, but all that ever came before me were thieves and robbers trying to get in some other way. But there's only one way, and he is the way. But it says right here that in the latter times, in the last days, I think we are in the last days. And he says, many will depart from the word. They will depart from the pure gospel, from the true gospel, and they will give heed. That is an important statement. They will give heed to seducing spirits, deceiving spirits, doctrines of demons. Think about that. Doctrines of demons. That's the lies right there that people believe. Because of deception, there is false spirituality. He says, giving heed to deceiving spirits, doctrines of demons. He goes on and says, speaking lies and hypocrisy, having their own conscience seared with a hot iron. Deception, my friends, because of deception, there is false spirituality. Consider what took place in the book of Genesis chapter 3, verse 5, when God gave specific directions in the Garden of Eden. And he said, freely you can have everything that is in this garden. It all belongs to you with this one prohibition. You cannot eat of the tree of knowledge. The day that you eat thereof, you shall die. God gave that word. So then in Genesis 3, 5, Satan comes in the form of the serpent. And he says this, for God knows that in the day you eat of it, your eyes will be open. Don't you know that God is holding out from you? That was his lie. Don't you know he's holding out from you? Does God hold anything good for his people? Jesus said, if a father knows how to give good things to his children, how much more will your heavenly Father give the Holy Spirit to those who ask him? He will not withhold any good thing, it says in the book of Psalms, to those who walk uprightly. Everything that God asks for us is for our good. It is for our benefit. It is for our protection and for our safety. But the lies we believe, oh, Satan comes along and he says, God knows. Let's cast doubt on his character. God knows. And the day you eat of it, your eyes will be open and you will be like God, knowing good and evil. See, there were really four things that Satan offered to Eve here. Four things he offered. First of all, he offered her immortality. Immortality. We are living in a day and age where God is whatever you perceive him to be. People have all kind of definitions because, as we stated earlier in the introduction, they believe in God. 92% believe in God, but not necessarily the God of the Bible, the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ. They believe, they believe in a concept. They believe in what has been formulated in their mind. Lies that they believe. Satan gave a lie. Jesus said that he was a liar from the beginning, and he abode not in the truth. He said when he speaks a lie, he speaks of his own nature, for he is a liar and the father of lies. That's all he does. Lie, lie, lie. No wonder he's working in the political field. Lies. I mean, all the things that are exposed, and it's not just in the political arena. It's in every area of society. Lies, corruption, deception. It's in the music industry. Lies. It's in Hollywood. Lies. Because he is the father of lies. He made an offer to Eve, but it was based upon lies. He offered her these four things: immortality. The second thing he offered, enlightenment. The third thing he offered, godhood. You shall be like God, knowing good and evil. The fourth thing he offered was knowledge. And isn't it interesting that the Bible teaches us that really what was lost was the knowledge of God. Satan's offer based upon a lie: immortality, enlightenment, godhood, knowledge. Here's my next point. And I like this one. Because God visits the cemetery. We find it in the Bible. Amen. You can go to John's Gospel chapter 11. A man by the name of Lazarus had died. They'd already buried him. Jesus is going to do a miracle. Lazarus' sister, she's already, you know, believing lies. Lord, if you'd have been here, he would have not died. It's all your fault, Jesus. That's what she did, basically. It's all your fault. He's dead because you didn't come. We called for you, but you didn't come. We summoned you, but you did not come. He's dead But if you would have been here, he would not have died. Consider what we read again in the book of Ephesians chapter 2, verse 4. But God, who is rich in mercy because of his great love with which he loved us, even when we were dead in trespasses, made us alive together with Christ. By grace you have been saved. Raised us up together, made us sit together in the heavenly places in Christ Jesus, that in the ages to come he might show the exceeding riches of his grace in his kindness toward us in Christ Jesus. Hallelujah. Man, what an incredible passage of God's word. Jesus goes to Bethany to raise Lazarus from the dead, dealing with the criticism, dealing with all of the things associated with his death. And Jesus was about to perform a miracle. But we don't read in John's Gospel, chapter 11, where Jesus said, Lazarus, wiggle your toes and I will help you. Lazarus, nod your head and I will help you. Because God only helps those who help themselves. Right? No, that's not what happened. God visits the cemetery and Jesus comes and he says, Lazarus, come forth. And the Bible says in that moment, in that instant, all of a sudden, here he comes, wrapped in mummy clothes. Y'all remember those old horror movies, the Day of the Mummy or The Mummy Returns? And that
mummy be walking around like that, you know.
Spiritually dead, right? There's a lot of people walking around today. Spiritually dead. But thank God that God visits the cemetery. And he called Lazarus out. He called him out of the grave. He called him out of darkness. He called him out of sin. He called him out of bondage. Because my friend, God visits the cemetery. And we are a work of his grace. It is nothing that we can do. That's why he says right here in verse 8, for by grace you have been saved through faith. And that not of yourselves. But I thought God helps those who help themselves. Well, he says right here, it is not of yourselves. There's nothing that we could do. Thank God that he calls us out of darkness. Consider this verse in Ephesians chapter 5, verse 8. And this is a good one. He says, for you were once darkness, but now you are light in the Lord. He's talking to believers now. He's talking to those who could not help themselves. And they had to come to the realization. I believe it is human pride that holds people back. Because in our prideful nature, I can handle this. I can do this. I got this. I'm covered. In our human nature, we believe that. But my friends, that is not the truth. Lies that we believe. So he says, you were once darkness, but now you are light in the Lord. Walk as children of light. For the fruit of the Spirit is in all goodness, righteousness, and truth, finding out what is acceptable to the Lord. See, here's what people that have come alive, this is how they live. They want to know what is acceptable to the Lord. And they also want to know what is unacceptable to the Lord. Amen? They want to know the difference. They want to know what is acceptable and what is unacceptable. Finding out what is acceptable. And then he says this, and have no fellowship with the unfruitful works of darkness, but rather expose them. Hallelujah. The lies that we believe. lies that we believe, things that we convince ourselves. I'm going to give you some, next week I'm going to talk to you about some poets that we have in our society. Because in the book of Acts, they were preaching the gospel. And they gave a quote from what was called the poets. I'm going to kind of talk to you about what those who those poets were. And I'm going to give you some present day poets. Because everybody's mind is influenced and belief systems are influenced by what we are fed in the culture. And it comes through Hollywood. It comes through the music industry. It comes through religion. It comes through all these different avenues. And people believe it's truth. But my friends, there's only one way. There's only one truth. And that truth is found in Christ. Jesus Christ is the truth of God. And he is calling you and I out of darkness. And he does visit the cemetery. I thank God that in one day he visited my cemetery and called me out of death, called me out of bondage, called me out of a blind condition, called me out of being spiritually dead in trespasses and sins. And at one time I had no vote. But thank God, I am now seated at the table. Could you imagine this guy? Could you imagine this guy, Jeremy Benham, rolling him up? Y'all got to do this. This is an intriguing thing. You know, they preserved Lenin's tomb in Russia. You know, he's been laid out for hundreds of years. I don't know how. Couple hundred years, 100 years, I don't know what, how long, maybe not that long, but a long time. He'd been laid out. And they say to get in there to see Lenin's tomb, and they said every few years they got to kind of do a little work because, I mean, it wasn't intended to preserve a human body once the spirit leaves it. It goes back to the elements of the earth. But they say that Dale Yurton was telling me this. Many of you know Pastor Dale Yurton. He's preached here for us many, many times. And you know, Dale was telling me that in all of his trips to Russia, he said he's never been able to get to Lenin's tomb. He said, because even today, he said that the line wraps all around. It takes hours because people are filing by to see a dead man, founder of communism, spiritually dead. Jeremy Benham wanted all of his wealth to be given to the university, but preserve my body and bring me to the board meetings. What? Lies we believe. And he's placed at the attendance of the hospital board meetings. How many people are living in this life, living in this world? They're alive, but they're dead. And you might, they might roll themselves up to, you know, a place of prestige, a place of honor, but they really don't have any life because they are spiritually dead and they cannot help themselves. Maybe I'm talking to someone today, maybe that fits you. Maybe you've been living, but you're not really alive. Maybe you've believed it yourself that God helps those who help themselves. Maybe you've taken matters into your own hands. My friends, I encourage you today, don't do it. Release it. Surrender it. That's the awesome thing about salvation. There's nothing that we can do. All we have to do is believe it and receive it. Hallelujah. Believe it and receive it. Remember God's economy we talked about in finance? The world is buy and sell. God is give and receive. God gave. All we have to do is receive.